Right, I'm here having a chat with Michael Vykath, guitarist from Power Metalers Helloween. Hi, Michael, how are you?
Hello, good day, everyone.
Good day to you. Are you doing well?
Yep.
Cool. Right, okay, so welcome to my special Halloween show. But before we go on to Halloween, we'll talk a little bit about Helloween and what they're up to. I know they're recording the follow-up to Straight Out of Hell at the moment. Can you update me a little bit on what's going on?
Yeah, that's basically what's taking place. Since a few days, they've gone into the drum recordings. And I've been there yesterday, you know, to witness the recording of one of the tracks I've written. And so that was really cool. It seems like really, really good. The way we do it is we are using Danny's natural feel for playing the drums. So that means he has a general tempo in his head and he records the drums. And for as many songs as he can manage, he actually drums them from memory.
Wow.
Which is quite good. I mean, I saw it yesterday, and I don't know how he does that, but yeah, well, that's what's been taking place. And then after the drums, they get adjusted to the grid of the demo material we have. So there's like a session in the digital editor in the Pro Tools, and yeah, so I mean, his drums are being matched to the grid of the demo. So everything is just on the point where it belongs, and it's drummed without a click, actually.
Right.
Also tempo changes and stuff. And we've seen yesterday that, like, his playing didn't really mismatch what was there in the final grid. So that was pretty impressive.
That's awesome. Cool. So go on.
Yeah, when that is done, we're going to add guitars and vocals and special effects and keyboards, and then the bass will be recorded. So everyone's dropping by for his respective work to be done when it comes to it, and we have a schedule, but as it looks, the schedule is looking good.
Right, that's awesome. So I was going to ask that because obviously I don't really know exactly how you do it all in the studio. Do you all just go in at your separate times and do you ever all get together?
Yeah, so there's less distraction, even though, you know, well, everyone can fear to come by when someone else is doing something. If the two persons are on the island at the same time, right? Yeah. Obviously. And, well, on the other hand, it's like when you work, you work. When you want to have distraction, you want to have distraction. You know, it's always cool. But we have kind of a tight schedule and things generally, even though the typical studio feel of talking bullshit and whatever, you know, there won't be a shortage of that for sure. But nevertheless, in times like these, you know, where melodic heavy metal is not exactly at a pinnacle in the general media, it's that, well, you have to keep the costs low and you have to be specific to what you want to do regarding bullshitting or well, doing work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, we want to get done in time and in the given schedule.
So are you still sort of scheduled for early 2015 for the album?
Yeah, what has been said was February,
right.
End of February, and so whatever, you know. If we're ahead of the schedule, then we got a lot more time for mixing and mastering, or whatever is going to happen. Regardless, there's no pressure.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that there will be festival appearances. We have fixed already for June, and
right.
that is one fact, you know, that I can reveal.
Yeah.
There's not so much else I could possibly tell about the process taking place, like album title and stuff, song titles. I'm far from being able to really to reveal any of that.
Right, it's all very secret then at the moment.
secret.
Can you tell us how many songs is going to be?
Not even, because you know, I don't even know. I think it's 20 tracks, from what I heard from Danny, what he has to do, and that includes bonus tracks, B-sides. And then I don't know if that's going to be the final call.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. That's a lot of tracks. Cool. Can you tell us any more about the... You said you've got some festival appearances scheduled. Can you give us any more information about that at the moment?
No, all I know is there are some festivals booked and they have already been released to public as well. If people are digging for it, they will find it.
Okay.
And I must say, you know, I didn't really check. I didn't really look at it. And I checked this morning and actually I forgot. I don't even know what was the last thing I saw.
Okay, that's fine. No worries. Well, we look forward to that. It's all very exciting.
Yeah, us too. Wherever it will be, we always like being there. If the circumstances are good, you know, then we're always in for a good life, for a good bit of fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Right, brilliant. Okay, so on to Halloween now. Can you tell me what you like about Halloween, your thoughts about it, and do you have any particular plans? Because it's going to be Halloween, obviously, later this week.
Well, Halloween, the way it takes place in Europe or Germany or here, I don't actually know. You know, in the Canaries, they have the typical carnival, which is also taking place around February.
Right.
Where they already run around masked and you see families dressed up as chicken and stuff like that, which is already a crazy time.
Okay.
I don't know to what extent people here take their time to do some stupid stuff on the Halloween day, on the actual one. If something is taking place in Europe generally, it's, you know, rave disco events. That's about it, you know. And then at these events, they hardly ever play any kind of the music that we would appreciate more, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what it is. And if it comes to Germany, there's huge techno happenings.
Really?
Right? Where people may have one or the other disguise going on. And that's about it, you know, that's the way it takes place over here. And I've only seen one actual Halloween in Dallas when we played there on the very Halloween day, which was more than odd and awkward, but cool and great and impressive. But
yeah.
That's, you know, that's where my own experience with the typical U.S. Halloween ends, you know.
Right, right. I mean, of course, it's huge in the U.S., isn't it? It's getting bigger in the U.K. as well, but... Of course, it's massive over there. So what about the pumpkin carving then? You don't see any of that in Germany? They don't do that?
No.
No?
Not that I know of.
Right, right. Okay, so if you had a pumpkin then, what would you carve on your pumpkin?
I wouldn't know. It's like this, you know, with... being in this band, it's like, you know, we try to stay away from actual real pumpkins, I can tell you.
Do you?
It's been one or the other time, you know, that somebody served us like pumpkin soup or pumpkin pie or whatever in the catering, that it was good and pleasurable and it was a joy to eat, you know? But
yeah.
It doesn't always... take place. It doesn't always take that form of being enjoyable, not always.
Mm.
And you know, you grow a bit wary of that business, you know, when you're in that band. It's like, imagine you were in a band called the Sugar Cups, you know, and everybody's always bringing you sugary sweet stuff, you know.
True, yeah, I can,
there's
I can relate.
So much you can do and stand as a human being, you know, obviously.
Okay, right. So could you tell me about the characters around Halloween? Do you have any favorite, classic sort of monster favorites like Frankenstein or Dracula or anything like that? Are you into that kind of thing?
No, but what always strikes me is odd, it's been called Frankenstein all the time, and the thing is, it's Frankenstein's monster.
Monster, yeah.
Frankenstein himself is the doctor who created it, or the
That's true.
professor, whatever. But
Yeah.
people always refer it to it like Frankenstein, and
I
I think,
know.
oh my God,
Like I did.
But what I really like is like if there's diversity with people and they get like creative or if like Batman wanted to be Superman and vice versa, that's fun. And I've seen many things, and then when people dress up as tree trunks or something like, and they made their own disguise somehow or whatever. Or what I really really like, what cracks me up each time, is when they dress up their little doggies or other animals they have.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
It is. Yeah, little pumpkin
And
dogs. Yeah.
just for that, I think it's worthwhile, having that event, really.
Yeah, okay. So can you tell me a bit about Dr. Stein then? Can you tell me a bit about him? How,
Yeah, so Dr. Stein is the derivative of Dr. Frankenstein. I mean, he is Frankenstein himself. He just moved somewhere else, and he was all sick of that beast that he had there in where he was, the fictional place in the movie, in the original movie. So he moved somewhere else, where he was more free of doing his experiments, where nobody would detect him, where he could work in peace, and do all the stuff he wanted to have. And the Dr. Steen for himself would probably be kind of a intellectual. And what I really like is the rendition of the guy in our video that we've done for the Dr. Steen. The actor that we had from Berlin, who's doing that role in that video, that's kind of exactly how we imagined him.
Yeah.
And he was on the original single cover, very close to, and then, it was really strange, dealing with that man, because he's a real good actor. And the way he comes across and also expresses himself and stuff, it's just thrilling,
Yeah.
We had a good time with him, just having a talk, and while he had his outfit on and everything, just he really behaved like a real Dr. Steen.
Oh,
It's
that's
fun,
fantastic.
being around him, and eventually he showed up at another occasion, and that was just, very nice guy, very nice guy.
Yeah.
Got his name though, but I'm not sure if we were introduced by like what his name really is and stuff. I must find out.
Right. Okay. So, of course, we've got to talk about the link, which you've already touched on, between obviously the band name Halloween and Halloween, the event and the pumpkins. How did it come around in the first place? I mean, I'm sure you've told people this many times, but
Exactly, I did. And the first logo design we had was with an A.
yeah.
And the trouble was, by that time, it was really hard, first of all, to get a record contract at all. And we weren't quite sure by whatever system, records may have been published. And, by that time you went into a record store, and there was like a display box, and then, you had the letters and the categories and whatever where the records would be put. And we were really afraid that we would end up in the whole thing, where the Halloween soundtracks, movie soundtracks would be, and that people would like probably disregard our records or whatever, or buy a Halloween soundtrack instead of a Halloween record.
Yeah.
And we weren't really willing to put the E in there because we thought, okay, then everybody takes us for Satanists or stuff. Mm. And that would have been the trouble. But we said, you know what, we got to do something. And because we can't go out there with the A in the logo, and we don't like the idea with the E in the logo either, but there's something we have to do if we want to keep the name. And we've already been pondering on what the actual band name would be for months and years before, and then we were quite happy with that name, Halloween.
Yeah.
And we thought, you know, whatever, let's put the E in there and see what happens. And so far, it was all right, you know.
Yeah. There's
just these few extreme people who really don't want to believe the motives behind it and whatever, and they badmouth us. But, you know, these people are not that many, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like always that fundamentalist, ignorant, whatever you have,
yeah,
about you, you know, people will never be happy with anything you do, and they could always put a finger on something that you are,
yeah,
or what you say or whatever, even without the name Halloween with the E in the logo. If it was anything else, people always find something, you
yeah
know?
Yeah, yeah, of course they do, there's always somebody, but yeah, I'm sure you do a good job of ignoring them. Okay, so the song, of course, Halloween, from the classic Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 1 album. It's the epitome of a song for this time of year, of course. You know, you see people are really enjoying it and playing it everywhere around social media. And can you tell me a bit more why you decided to do that song as a band? And obviously you got the video for it as well. It's
well, after I listened to the Nectar Recycle album, I made my mind up to finally do like a longer concept song, Keeper of the Seven Keys. And I went to Kai Hansen and told him about it, and he said, yeah, I wanted to do a long one too. And that's because there were these tracks, Stranglehold of Ted Nugent, Rock Bottom of UFO, Light in the Black and Stargazer of Rainbow, and other long tracks on records, you know, when you took the vinyl records out of the cover and you had a look at what was going on there on the surface of the vinyl album, you could make out, oh, there's a long track back there, or oh, there's something in the middle, what would that be, you know, if you didn't know that record yet. You can also do that with actual CDs if you look close,
right?
And we always thought, you know, for like, by that time there were still, well, like rock clubs or hippie clubs or whatever, because obviously just a few years before we got into action as a band in 84, it's not so far from 78, 79, when there were like many, many hippie discos where they played stuff of the Alex Harvey band, you know, mm-hmm. who also had a long track called Faith Healer.
Yeah.
And this is where it originates from, you know. This is also why I made another track called Giants that I wanted to be played at these occasions, you know, at these very clubs. And it was imagined for a club like that, you know, where long-haired people go, you know, to have a good time. And then, you know, they don't dance. They rather fly and move to the music. And there's like lots of colors being projected to the wall and stuff, optical effects and all that, you know. That was that time.
Yeah.
And that's what it was made for, you know. And the track Halloween was a cooperation, same as Keeper of the Seven Keys, because both projects were actually too hard for the single conveyors and composers, Kai Hansen and me, to be finished by themselves on their own. You know, we both needed a little bit of help from the other guy and the band members to finish these tracks, because it was a big feat to be achieved. And then you wanted to do two of those tracks. It wasn't just one. No, we wanted to do two, you know. And if we would ever have to come up with something like that, even you know, with the experience of the King 4000 Years from the Keeper 3 Legacy record, it's always like a big load of work to do something like that, particularly if you want it to be good, and you always need some extra time to work on that with which would be your conviction usually that people think, but it's much more easier to come with one regular track and even a 7 minutes track to deliver, you know, to be impressive and well received by the people, that they go like, oh, I really dig that record, so good, and I can listen to it over and over again. It's not easy at all.
Yeah.
And so the track Halloween came in conjunction with the Keeper of the Seven Keys track.
Okay, right. Oh, that's lovely.
And
thank you.
I think it was a hallmark and a peak of thrash metal by that time. It culminated in a mix of the typical hippie and freaky and 70s hard rock stuff that we knew, but it was a lot more modern, because that's the intention of Kai Hansen. He wanted to go thrash, he wanted to break borders. And what I was about with the Keeper of the Seven Keys was the mere hard rock impact of these classic bands. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
And what he wanted was the modern thrash approach. And this is why these two tracks differ that much.
Right. Oh, that's very interesting. Also, your songs, they have a lot of positive energy to them. Do you think that just comes from how you all work together and how you do your writing? Is it intentional in your writing, or it just comes out like that?
It came out like that because right from the beginning we wanted to set us apart from the rest of the bunch of people who, I don't know, they want to be macho and put it across, and they are doing a band and they want to, I don't know, they want to show off or something, or they want to be in the middle of everything, and they want to be in the spotlight, and yeah, we wanted that too, but we thought we do that by different means. And you know, if you don't have a concept, that's really bad. If you have a different concept, that ain't so bad, you know. I mean, bands have been looking for images and whatever, and then they plan things and it gets awkward at times, and we didn't want to let that come up being awkward for the sake of, if we had a more serious image or whatever, and we were like, I don't know, the street gang or whatever, then you always got to run around in dirty clothes and with the attire that goes with it and stuff. And then you play a role. And we imagined we could get caught into whatever image we would come up. So we thought that's all bollocks.
Yeah.
And we're going to be the way we are, you know, the high school boys and the middle school boys we are. And, well, we haven't been all around the world when we started out, so we were eager to see what that would be like, but we weren't going to teach the world something about what it is to be international and stuff. So we just wanted to be the ones we were and play our music as good as we could, and we've spent a great deal of time in the rehearsal room, and we tried to be as good as we could, and that was it.
Yeah, okay, cool. Right, well, we'll get towards the end now. I won't keep you too much longer, but I'd like, if possible, if you could choose a song for me to play on this Halloween special, whatever song you choose.
Oh my God. I don't know, play Far From the Skies or whatever, anything in the vein, something fast, you know. I understand it's a metal program, so people want to hear something like that, or, you know, Burning Sun, or Make Fire Catch the Fly, or whatever.
Oh, great choices, yeah.
Any of the headbanging stuff.
Yeah, okay. Right, so would you like to leave a message for your fans then to finish off, Michael?
Yes, my message to the fans is thanks for your interest and your time and, you know, listening to my gibberish here. And, well, fare thee well, everybody. Do what you want to do. Have a tea or a coffee or, you know, have a smoke or have a whiskey or anything that's just the right thing to do where you are right now. And have a good time.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and happy Halloween and good luck with recording the rest of the album.
All the best to you all.
Thank you.